Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Reminder, coming up 1 hour from now, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletics, going to stop by. Normally in the 1 o'clock hour, things got moved around a little bit today, so he'll join us a bit earlier. Plenty to get into. Is he hearing anything on the left tackle front? Are they actually calling around? Are they not calling around? What's the latest as reports today from Jordan Schultz that the Chiefs are planning to designate Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Minnehue to return from IR? Remember, that'll be the 21-day practice window. So it's good news, but it doesn't mean they're playing on Sunday. It could mean that they're not playing for three more weeks. But obviously, it's the step in the right direction that Chiefs fans have been looking for to see Pacheco and Minnehue get one step closer. That's what this is. One step closer to getting back on a football
field. I would just tell people, like, it varies. So Christian McCaffrey was designated to return from his IR stint and played the same week.
Yeah.
Plenty of players are designated to return from the IR stint, and you don't see him for 2 or 3 weeks.
I'm just basing it off of Andy's comments yesterday when we aired his press conference. And he said Juju Smith-Schuster is definitely closer than a Minnehue and Pacheco. So that's where we're basing that off of.
Which makes me feel like they can't come back in the same week. Makes me feel like there's a 50-50 shot. Juju comes back this week, and the optimistic timeline for the return of a Minnehue and Pacheco for me will be next week against the Carolina Panthers. Although, why the hell would you rush him back for the Panthers? Am I right? I mean, come on, guys. You can't be bringing players back from injury against the Panthers. What's the point? Just let him heal another week. Matter of fact, if anyone else has been feeling like a tight hamstring, they can also take the week off. I think they should actually, new working theory. Because the bye week is so late this year, or so early this year, and they don't have another one. They might not get another bye until like they take a break in the playoffs. They should treat next week like a secondary bye and just give Travis Kelce the week off. Just give him the week off. He doesn't have to work next week. I'm saying take a vacation. Him and Taylor can go to a trip. I don't. He doesn't have to be in the facility. It can be a straight up bye week for him. I don't need Travis Kelce
not even by
doing
the team.
I don't need Travis Kelce doing any work next week. He can take a mental and physical week off from the team against the Carolina Panthers and return for work the following Monday.
Conceptually, that's crazy. Like, he's going to be like, hey, me and Taylor are in Bora Bora while you guys are smacking around the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it.
Yeah, I definitely told you, I don't think the target share, the snaps can be down a little bit. They're obviously not going to just flat out bench him but for a game. But I hear you. I get it.
It's one of those games you go up 14-0, you bench all the starters, and you just ride the thing out with Carson Wentz.
A 2-touchdown lead, and you want to pull the starters?
Yes. Against Carolina? Yes.
No. Cody's all but guaranteed a Panthers win now. Look, they're so bad, I can't even jinx it. The Chiefs would have to throw 9 interceptions or fumble
Panthers
the ball 14
times. Panthers are hot, boys.
Times.
They've won 2 in a row. And they're
Wait, have they really?
Off. They've won, they've won two in a row, and they're coming off a bye week when they get set to play the Chiefs in 2 weeks.
That would
Look
be
so, out.
Hold on.
Maybe
Bryce
I haven't
Young.
Been paying enough attention. The Panthers are on a 2-game winning streak?
They are.
I think what I said
Bryce
is
Young's 2-0.
I think what I said was less disrespectful than what Cody said. Cody said, go on vacation. Don't even be around the team. You can go wherever you want to.
Take the week off. Enjoy your time.
They That's will crazy. Get a bye week, potentially in week 18 and the wild card weekend. I'm good.
Oh, they're coming off a bye week against Kansas City, too. Wow.
Saying.
Wow, wow, wow. Beating the Panthers and the Saints, taking a bye. Panthers and Saints. Sorry, they're beating the Giants and Saints is who the Panthers have beaten.
Hey, they're feeling good.
Murderers Row. Those two.
They won in Germany, man.
There was one Panthers fan at that game, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw it at the end.
There was only one?
A single solitary second.
Can't well, there was one.
They won the game. She was hugging everybody in the stand. They showed her. She was hugging everybody in the stand. She was going nuts over the Panthers getting the win. It was kind of funny.
This isn't
see.
Even
it
like
cool.
meant to be a joke. Are there actually Panthers fans? Like, do they exist?
And Charlotte,
what do you think that life is like to be a parent? I mean, God.
Well, they were in a Super Bowl actually more recently than some teams.
That's true.
Way more recently than our NFL insiders, Jets.
Well, and Cincinnati,
the Texans have never been.
Cincinnati, though. No, Texans. Texans are one of four franchises, right, to never even go to a Super Bowl.
Jaguars, the other one.
Yeah, I think them as well.
Jags obviously lost the AFC title game.
You'd rather be a Panthers fan than a Jaguars fan at this point. You've been better off being a Panthers fan than a Jags fan lately.
I mean, you got those Cam Newton years, I guess. At least that was kind of cool. Maybe. Jake DeLome had a run.
They did. Steve Smith.
Jake DeLome.
They had a run. Years. You know? Maybe. Yeah. You might have better off been a Panthers fan this entire time than a Jets fan, and that's sick. That's sickening. That's like the oldest franchise in the sport. I can't bring it up. Anyway, sorry.
People aren't happy with you.
I know.
They want you to put something on the line now to guarantee a win against the Panthers.
What do I got to put on the line?
You already said that if they... What the heck did you say to start the show?
Now.
You were going to punish yourself?
That if Florio didn't say that Andy Reid was thinking about retirement by December 1st.
There were some suggestions for that punishment,
yeah, that's fine.
Way.
I'll go back and look at those. I forgot to look
at them was, just don't do the burrito thing that the K-State fan did, please.
Yeah. All right, so the Chiefs we know are playing the Bills Sunday afternoon. Yeah, do not do that. Sunday afternoon, right here on 96.5 The Fan, you'll hear the broadcast of the game as the Chiefs are playing in Buffalo. And based off of what the Bills themselves have looked like and how nearly perfect at times Josh Allen had been until this past week where he did make a couple mistakes. This, you think, and I think I agree with you, is the first game where it feels the Chiefs are going to have to be mistake-free, whereas we know they obviously were not mistake-free against the Broncos. They found a way to win. They were not mistake-free against Tampa. They were not mistake-free against the Raiders, that's for sure, when they set up the Raiders at the five-yard line. They weren't mistake-free against the Niners in a 10-point win. This feels like, and this applies to the Bills too, both teams, if there was a scenario where you had to be mistake-free, this seems like that game on Sunday.
I think it's vitally important. No screw-ups. This is a no-screw-ups game. And I think part of the reason I say that is the Bills, historically, have been capable of an occasional screw-up, including last week, Josh Allen made a really bad red zone interception. They are occasionally capable of the bad screw-up. So if you can avoid it, that's how you win. They have played the Bills a lot of times in the regular season. They screw up so much. Just all the time, man. And that's how they end up losing those games. It's mistakes and fumbles and bad play, all these like little things building up, and you can't beat teams like the Bills. In the playoffs, the Chiefs have played the Bills so near perfection every time. Like, look at that 13-second game. Josh Allen didn't do anything wrong to lose that game. Matter of fact, Ted, he did everything right. Almost perfect to win that football game. And the Chiefs still won. Why? Because Kansas City didn't screw up. You can't make the regular mistakes they've been making all season long. I also think that it's not an accident that the reason why they've won three games in a row here recently is because they have been not making as many mistakes. Against the Broncos, that was just a gross dogfight. They didn't, like, screw up a bunch. The play calling, maybe they didn't get in the red zone as much, or score in the red zone as much, but they weren't turning the ball over, fumbling the ball, or the mistake was the Butker one. The one mistake almost cost them the game. I don't think you can afford any against Buffalo.
Yeah, unless it ends up being an outlier.
Not like zero penalties, you get right.
Sure, no, we're mainly talking turnovers, right? I mean, that's really what we're talking about. You know, there's been some games over the years where the Bills and Chiefs have played, and each side has had a turnover or two. But this feels like a game in the red zone in particular. And the Chiefs were, up until this past week, were better in the red zone than they struggled against Denver in the red zone. It took a fourth and goal. Thank goodness they were aggressive to get that touchdown to Travis Kelce, as we discussed yesterday. But for Buffalo, Josh Allen, the level of play he's had this year, he hasn't made the red zone mistakes himself. And so what gives there? Can the Chiefs do what they did the 3 weeks prior to this past Sunday, which was start turning around and having more red zone success? Third down conversions were high. Is that going to get back to that against Buffalo? Or are they going to continue to struggle in the red zone? For the Buffalo Bills, can Josh Allen, a game against Patrick Mahomes, where you know he's going to be even more amped up, will he go back to what he was in the past, which is late in the year, playoff time, he'll be in the red zone, and instead of throwing the ball away, he tries to force one, and the Chiefs, or any team for that matter, end up getting the big interception. That'll be the difference in the game, because Josh Allen has been a much more, I guess, you know, smart football player in the red zone than he has in the past.
They are currently third best in the NFL in giveaway takeaway, Buffalo. So, I mean, they've been very good. And you know why that is, right? They're taking the ball away, the same amount they always take it away, Gold. They're not giving it away. That's the difference. Kansas City, meanwhile, has managed to crawl their way up to 20th, a team that was 29th for pretty much the entire season when Mahomes was throwing picks in the early part of the year. Over the last three games, Kansas City's actually better in the giveaway-takeaway department than Buffalo is. I know that's a small sample size, but with 17 games sometimes, you got to pull small sample sizes. In the last three games, when Kansas City's continued to win and Buffalo has continued to win, Kansas City's been better at taking care of the football than Buffalo's been at taking care of the football. But that all goes back on Mahomes. He can't go back and have one of those picks. And he almost had one against Denver. That screen pass that ended the defensive lineman's hand, that's also just like one of those plays. Like, he didn't make a bad decision. That's just where the ball's going all the time. Like, yeah, your defensive player is supposed to make sure that that guy can't touch the football. Your offensive lineman is supposed to make sure the defensive player can't touch the football in that scenario. I just think this is that kind of game, man. It's going to come down to who screws up the least. And the least, I think, is like 0-1. Buffalo's been far too good at it this year to think that it's just a fluke, man. They've played 8-9 games. Have they had their bye week yet, Buffalo? I think they actually have it after the Chiefs.
No, because if you look at their record, no, they have not.
So, I mean, you know, it's just a team right now that can't, the Chiefs, because of the way that they're still trying to figure themselves out on offense, they can't afford a ton of mistakes against Buffalo. Obviously, they've beaten a lot of teams making a ton of mistakes for, 5 weeks? Didn't even matter. But not teams of this caliber this late in the season. I understand they made mistakes against the Ravens, against the Falcons, against the Bengals, and they won all those games. And those are good football teams. Those are playoff football teams. I just don't think that they've ever won against Buffalo when being the team that screws up the most.
We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 5 minutes or so, but we know the NFL had a game in Germany on Sunday. It was the Panthers and it was the Giants. There's some more international games in Germany, I think, coming up this week, if I'm not mistaken, as they continue to expand internationally. The NFL owners have approved up to 8 regular season games in foreign countries beginning next year. And according to Front Office Sports, some quotes from the commissioner, there's a push to double that number in the not-so-distant future. Next year, there's a very good chance the Chiefs are probably playing back in Germany as well. But we've seen this. The Steelers might be playing in Ireland. That's the other rumor that's out there. The Rooney family could have a game in Ireland next year. So we're just going to keep seeing this. All of a sudden, up to 8 regular season games next year.
They won 16?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and that's where you get into the double buys, and eventually, I think it's all going to correlate with scheduling. It's going to move to a 19 or 20 week schedule. We're going to have double buys, and everybody every year is going to play an international game. I think that's where this is.
One
this
or is two?
It. One.
Because that's the real question. One international game or two? Because if they're trying to get to 16 full, I think you got to stop sending some teams over there for multiple weeks. I think it works with the 17-game schedule. Why go to 18? It's very simple.
Well, just because we know that's 8 what they're going to end up doing.
8 road, 1 international. I solved it. There it is. No true home team, no true road team. 8 home, 8 on the road, 1 international. That's the deal. That's what we're all doing here. And that's the level that we want to do. I guess my only complaint is my interest level for 8:30 a.m. soccer, or for football, is almost nothing.
Really?
Like,
this past week's matchup stuck.
So I guess what I'm curious is 913-586-7965. What is your thirst for like early morning football? Maybe it's just because like the kids and I have like a routine. We go through our normal thing. I mean, if I'm up and I'm not doing anything, I'm not saying I won't turn a football game on, but like my motivation to be like, ooh, sweet, now football for all 18 hours today is kind of low.
But the reality, even though we can say like it's kind of messed up, the reality is they're not playing that game at 8:30 in the morning for you or me in the United
States. They're playing it for the international audience.
We need to have 8:30 a.m. football. No, they're doing, we need to have international games. Just so happens the time zones, it's 8:30 in the morning, typically. You know, that's what it is. I hear you. Trust me. Like, but they're the whole international
thing.
It's
not for me.
It's not for any of us in the U.S., even though it's America's game and all this, but it is clearly the expansion financially and growth of the game is what they're after. Call it being greedy if we want. But it's not about, do you want the 8:30 kickoff? I personally don't mind the 8:30 kickoff. Now, the Giants-Panthers game was an abysmal matchup. Like, that doesn't do anything for me. And I've told you, I would give the international games every single terrible matchup. Like, next year, the Chiefs have the Commanders on the schedule, and there's some rumors out there that maybe the Commanders-Chiefs could be the Germany game next year. I don't want that in Germany. That's a home game for the Chiefs, by the way. I don't want that.
I want that at Arrowhead.
Give them whoever. I don't know who
you
else.
You want
would
all Giants Panthers games they can get.
Honestly,
Chiefs Panthers.
At this point, I mean, the Chiefs are on the road at the Dallas next year. I was trying to come up with a. Give me a crappy team that the Chiefs face. We already had them play Miami, which
Giants.
Was a great matchup.
They,
yeah,
they
have Chiefs. Yeah, they're not going to send. They're not going to send the Giants back to London next year. I don't think it's the problem. Anyway,
do we already know? Oh, because we don't.
We know most of the division games.
Here's the thing I would do. Just make it a division game. You know how many times I've seen Denver or the Raiders?
Usually they are hesitant to do that.
Screw that. Who cares?
That's usually what they stay
away
from.
I know, because they're like important games or whatever.
They are, Cody.
Not for the Chiefs division, they're not.
Well, it's still a divisional game.
They're like 33-5 against them.
I'll be honest. I don't want
to. Give me one of those over there. Give me Raiders in Germany.
I don't want the Chiefs losing a home divisional game. Sorry.
So we have London.
I don't care about that.
So we have London. We have Germany. Two cities in Germany, Munich and Frankfurt.
Yeah, maybe Berlin next year.
Berlin potentially, Spain, Brazil.
They got Titans on the road.
Ireland.
There you go.
All they need to do is add Scotland.
Colts at home. That one can go straight
to
Germany.
True? What was
Scotland.
That? Scotland. Mm-hmm. Ireland is where
Channel and
next
get to
year.
Scotland.
I told
next
you.
Glasgow.
The only problem they're going to run into, and where the NFL, like, and this is like a, this is a, societal thing, right? That the PGA.
Here we go.
The PGA. It's been a while since I've been called Woke and Tap on the show.
Here we go.
That the PGA dealt with as well.
Ooh.
The NFL is like 2 years away from taking like copious amounts of money from like someone in the UAE to have a game there, and then everyone's going to accuse them of the same things the WWE have been doing to just take money from foreign governments that people don't trust,
what
happened with the Live Tour and every. Essentially, you're going to be taking it from people who are doing some pretty horrendous humanitarian things to a lot of people, and the NFL is either going to have to decide to take that money from like Dubai or choose to just like do them in these like friendly countries that people all agree are fine that they go to.
Well, that was why, I mean, I know that, again, if they don't care about time zones, then Australia is another one that I know that it would be, or Japan, it would be, the game would be at like 11 o'clock at night for us, but maybe they're convinced that we're going to watch because we love American football.
They used to play preseason game. The Chiefs have played a preseason game in Japan before.
So I wonder if they...
Oh, yeah.
Way back when, but yeah.
I wonder if that's just the thought of American fans are going to watch the games because they love American football on a late Saturday night, something to do, stay up late, especially if it's their team. We're going to be convenient to the Australian fans or to the Japanese fans, etc.
From the 913, 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning is perfect. Wife sleeps till 11. Kids watch Bluey. I watch football.
Yeah,
no,
I love it.
Wait.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful,
in the,
Cody.
In the year of
that
20...
is beautiful.
Are there adult people who still get to or choose to sleep until 11 a.m.? 11 a.m.?
This guy's
11 a.m.? That's crazy.
This guy's husband of the year. He lets his wife sleep until 11 on a Sunday. You should try this. Let your wife sleep until 11. You'll handle everything. You got the kids. That seems like a great husband right there.
Honest to God. I don't think my body is physically capable.
I was going to say, if you tried,
I think I'd have to stay up till 7 a.m. to sleep to 11. I don't think I am physically capable of sleeping until 11 a.m. anymore. I don't think it's possible.
I don't think 11 for me either. I definitely could do a good 9:30 or 10, though.
I can't think of the last time I woke up that late either. I mean, 8 would be like the latest
I've
gotten
you sleep
up in the last year.
In Vegas, eight. Blackout curtains.
8. 8:15.
But you guys had things to do.
Not really. I mean, not like that many things to do.
I slept until 9:30 this past Sunday.
Did you really? Good for you.
I'm a night owl though. Like I'll stay up and I'll watch. I guess for instance, college football. Like I'll watch that on a Saturday night. Go to bed at 1 o'clock and it's still 8 hours of sleep. But it's not 11 to 7. It's one to nine.
Yeah. Typically, on the weekends, typically I'm up by 7:30. But it just kind of depends.
I'm pretty much up by 6 every day. Sometimes maybe 7 on a weekend, but
sleeping in at 7? That's
I sound so sad for me.
I don't know that lifestyle.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one gets back into the food category after space yesterday. Today has to do with a viral Reddit post that actually inspired Reese's to do something.
Okay.
So they have launched a deconstructed peanut butter cup kit.
Oh, God. Are we doing this again?
That's going to allow fans to fill a huge chocolate shell with as much or as little peanut butter as they wish. So it's a giant 9-ounce milk chocolate shell and a lid. Plus, they give you a 10-ounce jar of Reese's peanut butter cup filling, and you determine how much peanut butter do you want in there. So you make your own peanut butter cup. It is coming out. It came out a week ago. $29.99. They sold out in record time, so you can't get this anymore.
I don't know, man. Like, if you like a different peanut butter to chocolate ratio, Reese's is already offering that. At Easter, they're offering me that in the form of an egg. At Christmas, they're offering me that in form of a tree. Those are a heavier peanut butter to chocolate ratio already. I am given options. I would also say the minis versus the full size versus the mega cup. I have choices in my chocolate to peanut butter ratio already. I don't need to individually make these.
It's a strong point. I think it's clearly when they're selling it for $29.99, it's a gimmicky novelty type of item. Also, that peanut butter, there's just no way that peanut butter is tasting the same.
And
you're allowing me out of the jar as the pre-made, like, man, you know, from the factory Reese's peanut butter cup. And this show is a big fan of the Reese's peanut butter cup.
I made one once.
Had a huge jar.
It did or did not have
for holidays last
green
year.
Green onion in it.
And yours, you made homemade, had a green onion in. That was unbelievable.
I think I was going to have the take of Cody where I was going to question him, but you know what? Not knock yourself out. As long as the regular Reese's peanut butter cup is there for me to have, go ahead and build your own or whatever.
What
you
other
call
candy?
It.
What other candy would you like? So this one deconstructed. You can. Is there another candy you can think of where you could pull this off and you would want to be able to adjust the amount of?
I don't know, like create your own caramel, like Nerds Rope or whatever.
You know, caramel or I don't know, picking you know peanuts or what, anything what, where you'd what, like to
like
be
a Twix.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm trying to think if you could do this with any other type of candy. Really.
I think this might be the only one where people discuss the ratio differences between it. I will say every single Halloween-based Kit Kat, the ones where they do like the white chocolate, I'll get those out of here. Get those like ghost finger Kit Kats. Get the hell out of here. Terrible.
Sunday from
off.
I'm not a big Kit Kat fan anyway.
785, Reese's peanut butter cups are gross.
What?
Really?
Get out of here.
Also,
do you not like? You just don't like peanut butter? I'm assuming that's what it is,
that
right?
Might be
it. I mean, if you don't like a peanut butter cup, you don't like peanut butter, right? I mean, so or you're allergic, or you're allergic. Maybe you're allergic to peanut butter, then it makes sense.
I feel like this is a funny one too. This is regarding to our past conversation. For the 816, Cody won't buy his wife a present, let alone let her sleep in.
That's the present I'm going to get her next Mother's Day.
Oh,
she can sleep until 11 o'clock.
You should. That should appreciate that.
Someone said Oreos, of course. That's probably the best answer.
Yeah.
Good answer.
You don't like Oreos, but that's a good answer. But again, they offer you light stuff, mega stuff, normal, double,
but imagine
triple.
Saying it's too much.
But if you want a ratio of stuff in the middle, you get your choice.
I think, though, but it's, again, the novelty of you being able to scoop the Oreo filling and put as much on there as you want and do it yourself. Someone says, gushers with a syringe.
You want to read that last part?
I think it was something like this. Busted wide open for the Chiefs. That's what they said. They said they wanted gushers with a syringe that they wanted to burst inside of their mouth.
That's being cut. Thank you.
Ooh. Seems like a problem.
When's the last time you had gushers?
I don't know. My kids, maybe in the last year.
Drew, did you think I was asking him a different question? Is that why you were laughing?
No. I was
goodness gracious.
I didn't know where it was going to go.
Well, that individual
trash
is probably not
day.
Great.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, let's get back into why this regular season game sets up the way it does for the Chiefs and Bills. We'll also discuss a little bit more about how Spags attacked the Broncos.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, going to stop by. We'll talk with him about what he's hearing, if anything, around the left tackle market. Talking about free agency specifically, really, Donovan Smith. Does he believe the Chiefs are willing, or have they been in communication? And what he makes of the practice window opening up reportedly very soon for Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Emmanuel, which is obviously great news for the future games ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs. But this Sunday, for a regular season game, it is about as big as it gets, right? I mean, considering number one seed implications, considering we know the Chiefs and Bills have had this rivalry for, we're going on 5 years of this now.
Been a while. I would say, like, it was probably obvious to everyone going into the season this was going to be the single, one of the single biggest games. But now that it's played itself out, it ended up being bigger or as big as build. So, like, before the season, I think it was Pete Gradoff over the Star written a story. Before the season started, CBS made this their, like, last, like, they were Jon Snow in the middle of the field again. Like, they made this to, like, if you give us no football games this year, we want Chiefs Bills at 325.
Yeah, they locked this one in.
This was the, like, when they were ranking out the most important game for them to air all season long, it was this one. And so CBS knew before the season this was going to be a big
game. Are you saying it's scripted? They knew before? Is that what you're saying?
No.
That's how I took it when you said it there. It sounds like you think this was scripted. CBS knew that this was going to be the game. They're having their set, their studio show on site at Highmark Stadium.
Do they? I could just have curiosity. Is it up more, or am I just noticing it more, the league is rigged stuff?
Oh, it continues to increase week by week the more the Chiefs win. It's how non-Chiefs fans are coping with the Chiefs' domination of the NFL.
This is a fixed league?
That it's all set up for them, the refs, the league, Taylor Swift, all of that. Yeah, Cody, it's clearly all set up for Kansas City. Because I don't know about you, the NFL decided to pick one of the smallest media markets to make the most successful. They didn't pick Dallas or New York. No.
Buffalo's not even one of the biggest ones.
That would have been too easy. So no. It's scripted. They clearly wanted Kansas City to have all the fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Smart, actually, yeah. Because the big media markets will draw numbers no matter what.
Yeah.
You got to prop up the small ones, but not too small, and then it's obvious. Mm-hmm. If it was the Panthers, you'd know. Mm-hmm. So, no, look, I think that when you look at the way this is on paper, someone's going to try to tell, like Vinny was on with us later. Well, if you missed our VinFL Insider, we'll give you a chance to hear that again coming up at 1:30. But if, you know, he's like, is it a big game? Like, technically nothing changes, right? If the Chiefs lose, they're the number one seed, and the Bills are the number two seed, or number three maybe, right, if they lose, right? So then maybe they move the needle a little bit, and this week, one of the two teams who's competing for you near the top of the AFC is going down. Pittsburgh and the Ravens play each other. One of the two of them has to lose, right? So, like, when you're going back through the schedule, does it have a massive impact? Yes! Because the Chiefs can win the number one seed this weekend. I don't want to try to make it seem like this is some small game. They are in a the most hostile place to play in the league that is an Arrowhead, in my opinion, is Buffalo. I think it's one of, if not the most difficult stadium to play in as a road team.
Yeah.
They have a quarterback playing at an MVP level. They are the only team right now that seems like a real threat, in my opinion, for the number one seed, and you reopen that door versus close it in a single game. These have been the two best teams over the last 5 years. This game is a massive regular season game by comparison.
Well, there
have been so many just like so-so ones this year. This is a huge one.
It'll shift narratives if that matters to you. You may ultimately say, I don't care what people nationally are saying about this team, but the result on Sunday is going to have a huge swing in the narrative. If the Chiefs lose to Buffalo, you're going to have everybody come out of the woodwork
frogs.
And said, see, yeah. Now they finally played a good team, even though you look at the Chiefs' schedule, they've played multiple teams that are going to be in the playoffs. It looks like Atlanta playoff team, Baltimore playoff team, Chargers playoff team, Niners playoff team, I believe. There's a chance Denver ends up in the playoffs. There's a chance Tampa's in the playoffs.
Chance Cincinnati's in the playoffs.
You know, don't tell Drew we said that. But yeah, I mean, there you go. There's a chance.
There's at least five current playoff teams, and if one of those teams doesn't become a playoff team, they're pretty much stealing the spot from the other. So it's like, if Denver isn't a playoff team, it's probably Cincinnati or the Chargers, vice versa.
It's a swing it's between those three.
And then on the other hand, if the Chiefs win, maybe there'll be some reason why people won't, but then I think you'll get more and more people on board like, okay, this thing is happening.
How could
this,
you doubt
this
that?
Team is going to be once again in an AFC title game, except it's going to be an Arrowhead again, and they're not going to have to go on the road like they did a year ago.
And that's what's funny about that. It's like the whole storyline is, well, you know, they've done it a lot from home. Can they do it if they got to travel? Traveled in two straight games, didn't matter. Like, it just, we're heavily outnumbered at the Super Bowl again for the second straight year.
And there's a very good chance if they were to get back to the Super Bowl and go to New Orleans this year, especially if it's the Lions.
But, if it's the Lions, it might be 80-20.
I mean, yeah.
They've never been to
and
a Super Bowl.
Everybody, no matter who the Chiefs face, we know we're in this point now in the Super Bowl. The public will all be on this opposite side as far as who they want to win. Nobody's pulling for, outside of Kansas City, nobody's pulling for the Chiefs. I mean, heck, the 72 Dolphins were, the cork of the champagne was halfway out, I bet, on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking they were going to be able to pop the bottle of champagne to celebrate still being the only unbeaten team.
Well, how many of those guys
that continues for another week. There's a few that have unfortunately passed away recently, but yeah, they've got it
with a win, by the way, on Sunday. The Chiefs will have the seventh longest winning streak in NFL history at 16 games. If you're curious what the record is, it's 23. I guess the Colts won a Super Bowl and then started a season like 12 or 13-0 or something kind of ridiculous. 23 is the record by the Colts. Two more pretty much get you in the top three. There's a pretty decent separation between 2 and 1, at least in this one. But with this one, it'll put you on the list. Like, you'll be on the Wikipedia page of longest winning streaks in NFL history is essentially what you're looking at. Because 16 games in a row is a lot. We talk about all the time about like what an accomplishment it would be if the Chiefs actually went undefeated. This is a whole other part why this game matters. 16 consecutive games? I mean, think about the opponents they played in that. If they beat Buffalo on Sunday to win 16 consecutive games, they would have beaten Cincinnati twice, Buffalo twice, the Ravens twice, everyone in their division like three times. Like, I mean, just think twice, right? Just think about how many good football teams they would have had to beat to do it, because part of their 16 in a row wouldn't have just been a regular season.
Right.
It'd have been four games in the postseason. And what we just pointed out, five teams that are actively in the playoffs as it sits right now in the NFL. Be a hell of an accomplishment. But that's the other thing. Because if all the other stuff I just said that made this thing a big game, hostile environment, the team and all that, you're also undefeated. Which means maybe you're not chasing that big prize to its full extent yet. I think that gets to like 12-0, 13-0. But I mean, you still know you're 9-0. They know you're not. Really?
Well, see, ride this thing out as long as possible. I mean, and it takes all the pressure off of you later in the year. Even if you drop a game, if you start 12-0, like the number one seed at that point is over. It's probably over after this week, honestly, getting to 10-0. But 12-0, then yeah, I guess eventually there's maybe perfect season pressure that kicks in, as you said, week 13, 14 or something like that. But in general, in terms of pressure of making sure that you can't drop a game or you'll lose the one seed.
Well, that'll be gone.
That kind of stuff goes away if you get to 10-0 with a win against Buffalo here.
This will be, you know what? I think later this week, either tomorrow or Thursday, I think we need to give an updated win projection guess.
Okay.
That to me becomes interesting, because if they lose one, it seems easier for me to be like, 14-3.
What was our preseason all the way around?
You were 14-3, and I was 13-4.
Drew was 13-4.
Same boat as 13. Me.
I mean, all are obviously in play still. I mean, four losses
now. Go 500.
Four losses seems almost crazy now. Three still is definitely in play. If they lose to Buffalo, I don't know how I'm not bumping mine up tomorrow to 15 or on Monday to 15 and 16.
I will say, I looked up teams to start the season 9-0 who are the defending Super Bowl champions, or four of them. One of them did lose four games the rest of the way still somehow.
Who was that?
Patriots.
Of all now, teams, did they win the Super Bowl?
They did not.
They get to the Super Bowl?
They lost in the AFC championship game.
Okay.
So,
did any of them not make the AFC title game?
Yeah, one loss in the divisional round.
Who was that? Sounds like a Steelers, maybe.
I don't remember. Yeah, it's just one of those teams. And look, I didn't look up everyone's injury history someone had lost it or the things that came with it. But, you know, sometimes you run into the playoffs and things happen. Not typically under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and everyone else in between, but it certainly does happen. Just real quick on Andy Reid, since we're mentioning this and they're undefeated and all this stuff. I got on DraftKings this morning, and for the first time all season, Andy Reid is the co-favorite to be coach of the year at plus 400 with Mike Tomlin. And all I can say is it's about time he got some respect because I know he's still not likely to win this award. I know he probably still won't win the award. But every year when they list off their five most likely guys to win coach of the year and Andy's name isn't even on it, it's kind of offensive because it's just fundamentally not true. The man has to be undefeated halfway through the season. You get his name on the list.
You know what I think it took?
As of this morning, he's the co-favorite on that side. I think other sides are different, but he's the co-favorite.
It took Patrick Mahomes having a slow start to the season. I think the reason Andy's coach of the year favorite is because Patrick Mahomes statistically is not having that season where it's people are putting it all on Andy at the moment as to why they're 9-0 more, I think, than anything else.
Maybe.
That's the way that I think that would be the reasoning of it.
No, I could see that. I think a lot of it is, number one, of course, they're undefeated. The second part is the injuries that Andy's overcoming.
Yes.
And so if you want to throw in Mahomes to that as well, and that narrative, it's all narrative driven. This is why we say shop around. FanDuel, for example, Andy Reid is plus 6.5 to 1.
Well, so you can get better odds.
So you can get better odds. Now, actual order, he's tied for the sixth best odds, or there's three of them tied.
What a difference between two sites, huh?
So Dan Quinn is plus 430, Dan Campbell 5-1, Mike Tomlin 5-1, and then Andy's actually, I guess, tied for the third best odds. He's tied with Harbaugh, Kevin O'Connell, all at 6.5 to 1. Then Jonathan Gannon, if you even know who the hell that is, he's the Cardinals head coach. He's 7.5 to 1. He's not winning.
I'll just be honest.
If you think Andy Reid's winning coach of the year, then you, one, should bet them to have a perfect season, and you should be potentially betting the Commanders to blow the division lead that they have in the NFC East. Like, because if Andy wins 15 games and Dan Quinn and the Commanders win 12 and win the NFC East, Dan Quinn's winning coach of the year. That's just how this stuff goes. Nobody is saying that Andy Reid's not doing an unbelievable job, is not the best coach in football. Of course he is. But the way the award works, that is voted on by members of the Associated Press, if Dan Quinn wins the NFC East in year one with a rookie quarterback and Andy only gets 15 wins, he will not win it.
It's an overachieving award.
He will not.
15
exactly,
and 2.
Drew. It is that there's literally, you can look at the history of the award. It usually
is overachieving.
There are certain coaches every year you typically can eliminate. There's the group of coaches like where the Raiders are at, where Antonio Pierce, they're not good enough to win enough games to get there. Then there's the group of coaches that won 5 games last year, but now you think they can win 11 or 12. There's the group of first-year head coaches gives you a chance to win. Then there's the group of coaches that are expected to always be great. Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, you know, Mike Tomlin is in contention because nobody thought expectation-wise that they were going
to be good.
Everybody knew Kansas City was going to win the division. Nobody thought they were going to potentially go perfect. That's why he's at 6.5 to 1. The scary thing, and why I would never bet on Andy Reid to win coach of the year in this scenario at 6.5 to 1. One loss, Cody, and he falls to 20 to 1. Boom. I'm telling you, one loss and it falls off.
So you're saying just wait to bet until at least after.
I mean, honestly, the number, like, if they lose to Buffalo on Sunday, that's 6.5 to 1. I think it goes to 14 to 1, 15 to 1.
I don't think either of you guys mentioned Sean McDermott either, correct? They're in contention for 40 to 1 to win
coach of the year.
Crazy.
Bill Belichick, even though he's in the same boat as Andy and these coaches you mentioned, he won it 3 times. Andy Reid has exactly 1.
Yep.
AP coach of the year, singular 1. He has coached a team that has gone to an AFC or NFC championship game more times than not.
Yeah, but the award
he's 50-50 to get to a conference title game.
The voting is done before the postseason. So in this conversation, the postseason doesn't matter. It obviously does for how we view him in his Hall of Fame case.
It's hurting him, apparently, in the coach of the year.
But vote. For the regular, the award is voted on before the postseason. So I hear you that, like, we know what he's done in the postseason. This award is based off of exceeding expectations and maybe being a first-year head coach, and at least with that particular team, and that's where Dan Quinn, with a rookie quarterback, that's why you get why he's a favorite.
Yeah, truth is, I don't think Andy's going to win the award, but in a weird way, I take the small victory of, like, good, at least you're including his damn name. He's lost his number one and number two wide receiver, his number one running back, he had to change left tackles, his quarterback's not playing at a high level. What's his team doing? 9-0. And they've got the pressure of facing a first, because like this is the other thing is the thing I think I don't like about the way these leagues vote for award is they don't like the idea of like we had Vinny on early and we asked about MVP. They don't like the idea of having to think about it. They don't like the additional context part. You know, the additional context being the Chiefs are playing a first place schedule.
They want it to be easy.
And Washington is playing a last place schedule. And the fact that schedules should matter. The difficulty of your division should matter. Like, yeah, preseason expectations hold weight. Of course they should. But they favor that more than like 10 other statistics that point to why Andy Reid is deserving to be. Like, if they made Coach of the Year halfway through, he should win the award today. If NFL Coach of the Year was a midseason award.
Dan Quinn would win it if it was today.
It shouldn't be Dan Quinn.
But he has a rookie quarterback.
Well, it depends on the, like this division. Would say it'd be him or Tomlin, Andy or Tomlin. That FanDuel saying it would be Quinn. See the favorite there?
Yeah. Okay.
So what you're saying, Cody, is that you want them to basically do what the BCS did with the calculators. Put all the calculations in. Tough schedule.
I actually think the BCS got a bad rap.
And you know what? It's gonna come out as Andy Reid every single time, probably.
New stance. Get rid of the College Football Playoff Committee. They don't actually watch any of the football games. Bring back the BCS rankings.
It actually might be...
To decide the 12.
It might be better.
I'm not kidding.
That your point might be very valid.
My stance is to bring back the BCS. I want to make that clear now. Gold, your thoughts?
Have him vote on 12.
The BCS bad?
I'll say in hindsight, now what we know, the BCS was not as bad as everybody thought it was
at
the time. In general, I still like the playoff format, though.
I want the playoff format just with BCS rankings to get the 12.
Yeah.
I want both.
Either way, people are going to, you know, bitch and moan about it either way.
I mean, you know the algorithm.
Like, you know, people will, though. I mean, this year, whoever the 13 team is, they'll still argue they were robbed or whatever. It's just like that you could have 25 teams in the playoff and the 26th team would claim that they had a spot. It's like at some point, there's enough darn spots. You didn't do enough to get in.
I never do feel all that bad for the bubble teams in like the NCAA.
Oh, that's why Seth Greenberg at Votek many years. Seth Greenberg was notorious. Now he actually works for ESPN, as we know, for many years. But when he was the head coach of Virginia Tech, every year he would complain, "We should have been. You didn't do enough. You played 35 basketball games.
We had to play Duke and North Carolina and NC State and Maryland back then.
That's why you're even on the bubble. That's why you're on the bubble. Otherwise, you really wouldn't be on the bubble.
You wouldn't even be in the conversation.
Indeed.
Since they don't give Coach of the Year to defensive coordinators, which maybe then Spags would be in the mix.
There is a new award category, I'm not even kidding, this year for coordinators.
Well, he's going to win that award.
There is.
Spags about to run away with that thing. Him and Ben Johnson are going to go do battle for it, unless it's split between.
I don't think you can bet on it right now. It's on the board. At one point, you could bet there was assistant coach of the year. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Spags is probably going to win that. I think what stood out to me, and like we always talk about the defense and what, like, we know they're great. We come in here and we're like, oh, look at what they did. They did it again. Held a team to 14 points. They did it again. One play in particular in that game, I went back and watched because it stood out to me in the absolute heat check that Spags is in right now as a defensive coordinator. He does not care if you move the ball in the first two quarters of the game. He will just stop. In the third quarter of that game, Steve Spagnuolo sent a blitz that stopped a drive from continuing to happen on Bo Nix, in which he sent on the blitz his number one corner, Trent McDuffie, and his number two corner in Nazi Johnson. He sent his only two guys who have decent, who have good cover skills on the same blitz. Do you know how sure you have to be you're getting to the quarterback if you're going to send your number one and number two corner on a blitz? That's also why it worked. No one actually thinks you're sending both your top cover guys.
Timing is everything.
It's crazy.
Timing sometimes is everything in those situations. And I don't remember the exact down or
it's
the
Curry
down and distance.
Turning around as he hits the three.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact down and distance, but that factors in game flow, what you had seen from their protection. They obviously don't have enough to match up and block when you're blitzing that kind of that many defenders, I should say. That was really impressive. I mean, that's why Spags has been so successful. He's aggressive. He's great at disguising blitzes, timing of them, all of that.
He'll send anyone. Because, like, that's the other part. The willingness to send anybody is, I think, what gets people. Like, that's what confuses, I think, us versus them a lot of times. Because, like, every year I feel like I'll have, like, this is like a bar top conversation, Gold, right? Your local bar, whatever, you're having a beer. The conversation I've been into is like, well, you know, I see that Tyrann Mathieu's going to leave. What are they going to do about that guy who's blitzing from the secondary, right, Gold? And you're like, well, I don't know, okay. Or they're like, well, I'll just send somebody else. Well, Justin, who they get? Someone else. Jerry Sneed used to be the guy who blitzed from the secondary a lot, right? Who do they start? McDuffie, Najee, they don't care. the corner who actually does the blitzing is actually wholly unimportant to them, which is also another impressive thing. How is he convincing these guys all to have the timing of the next guy previous to them? How is it always so good? It is like the unsung part of the defense that stands out as me to being something that is like so overwhelmingly important that I can't understand how they're able to coach that on defense, that everyone can blitz. Everyone blitzes successfully, and we will literally send anybody. It doesn't matter. It's great.
That's who Spags has been his entire time. You know what I mean? You have to have the personnel to execute it, and he certainly has that. Brett Veach and the coaching staff put together a great roster. But the way he coaches defense and his aggressive nature, that he can go back to his days with the Giants or with the Rams or whatever. I mean, that's just who he's been and why he's had so much success. You know, what was it 2 weeks ago? Jalen Watson, who unfortunately, as we know, is done for the season or appears to be done for the season. He was on Twitter watching the game, and he basically said something along the lines of what we're saying here, which is like, I'm telling you, Spags can dial it up whenever he wants. You know, it's like whenever he wants to, basically, whenever he wants to get after you, he can get after you. Now, doesn't mean it's always going to work.
But like that Super Bowl play, right?
But he knows, like, there's still, if the quarterback just makes a great play, it can still get you. But he knows what he can get if he wants to just get pressure on you, plain and simple. And against a rookie quarterback, that was an opportunity for him. Now, I thought Bo Nix in general handled it pretty well throughout much of the game, except the Nazi Johnson sack where it was a 17-yard loss. Probably should have been like a 10-yard sack, and it was 17 because Bo Nix thought he could actually get out of it.
Yeah, he's going to have to figure out a way.
He runs backwards a lot in the pocket.
And he's not Lamar Jackson, so he shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, Lamar Jackson might actually get out of that. I don't want to say for sure.
Well, yeah.
You're Bo Nix. You moved.
Are you saying that Bo Nix, Lamar Jackson
Lamar
are
did
not
it on
the
Thursday
same?
Night. Yeah, he ran back 15 yards and he almost got a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is allowed to do that. People play by different rules. It's the same thing. It's like, if you are a Chiefs tight end or wide receiver, you come in the league, do nothing Travis does. He can teach you nothing. Don't follow him around. Don't listen. Like, he's doing different stuff than you. He's doing a different job. Don't listen to him. Don't watch him. He's doing a different job. What he's doing out here ain't what you're doing. You're running where we tell you to run. He's just running where he feels like it, which is fine. It all works. Patrick knows where he's going. They got a great relationship, all those things. But yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Up next, we're going to get to what's trending. Then we're going to be joined by our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, Nate Taylor. We want to ask him about the left tackle situation and what's he hearing timeline-wise now that we now know looks like we could see Charles Omenihu and Isaiah Pacheco have their practice windows open up.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.